Hey, a pleasure to welcome Rabbi Schwartz, the rabbi of OZ, Ohev Tzedek, on 95th Street in Manhattan. Really turned the shul around many, many years ago. And as I like to say, like with Adam Mintz, we were all in Yeshiva University at the same time. I sat next to Rabbi Schwartz in the Kollel, Rav Schachter's Kollel, across from 307, many, many, many years ago. Rabbi Schwartz, of course, one of the leading rabbis in New York, and he'd been teaching at Yeshiva University Talk for many years. And Bakasha, let's go to the four children.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Kalman Yishkoyach, for all the Torah, your marbits all over the world, and it's really a pleasure to be part of this. So we have the four children, actually, if I may make a shameless plug. This is my Haggadah that Mosaic printed some years ago. It's called the Four Sons Haggadah, and it establishes the point that is perhaps the main point of the entire Haggadah, is the educational theory that Chanoch l'na'ar al-pi darko. Is that we have to treat the children and really anyone who's at the Seder in a way that is will best reach each particular person. And there are four different treatments in the Torah to how a child may react to what is before them in general, but especially at the Seder. And if we have, let's say, even Yaakov and Esav, who are twins, the same DNA, same parents, same upbringing, but we treat them in the same way, we run the risk of failing to reach the potential of both of them. I have a footnote in the introduction of my Haggadah from Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. It's on the pasuk Vayigdelu haNe'arim. I'm just going to read. I have to read a quote from it. It's really something extraordinary. It says, "Had Yitzchak and Rivka studied Esav's nature and character early enough and asked themselves how will the strength and energy, agility and courage that lay slumbering in this child be won over to be used in the service of God, and the future gibor to be trained to become not a gibor tzayid, but in truth a gibor lifnei Hashem, then Yaakov and Esav, with their totally different natures, could still have remained twin brothers in spirit and life quite early in life. Esav's sword and Yaakov's spirit could have worked hand in hand, and who could say what a different aspect the whole history of the ages might have presented. But as it was, Vayigdelu haNe'arim, only when the boys had grown into men, one was surprised to see that out of one and the self-same womb, having had exactly the same care, training, and schooling, two such contrasting persons emerge." So I understand with our limited resources, we're not able to treat every child in the classroom. I teach 7th and 8th grade at Manhattan Day School, and you have 20, 25 kids in the class. And everyone has a particular need. It's not so simple to have the 25 sons Haggadah. But they're usually can divide the class into four levels and understand that even with the same class, even if we're not tracking, that there are different needs and we have to treat each one according to that need and make the expectations according to that need, that this is what the beauty of the Haggadah. The first thing I'd like to concentrate on, and if you have the four sons in front of you, but by now I'm sure everyone listening has an idea of this, is that there these four treatments, one is not a question because he doesn't ask a question, and these four treatments of four different types of children can be divided into two categories, and this requires the Tum to be translated not as simple child. I don't think that Yaakov nor Yaakov Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's grandson, considered themselves simple. Rather, Tam means pure. Yaakov was a pure individual. I say this because if you say that Tam means simple, then the Haggadah divides the four children into an unequal way. Three by their intellectual capacity and only one by a moral capacity. If you divide the Chacham and the Rasha, that's not a good division. Chacham is morally neutral. It's the Tam who's morally upright. And that's why the Tam and the Rasha are often written together in chiastic parallelism in the wisdom literature chapters of Tanakh, especially Iov, where the Rasha goes this and the Tam is the exact polar opposite because he's pure, he's morally pure. So what I do in my Haggadah is for every question, and there are hundreds of questions throughout the Haggadah, there are four types of answers for each question. The pure, opposite. I don't call a child wicked who shows up at the Seder. The child does have a question and we should respond to it. I call him cynical. He's cynical. He's maybe there to bring up trouble, and maybe he doesn't even want an answer. And maybe the Torah's way of saying by the others, it's ki yisholcha bincha. By the Russia, it's ki yomru aleichem b'neichem. The other three are all in singular in the Torah. By the Russia, it's ki yomru aleichem b'neichem. The same problem Shimshon Raphael Hirsch speaks of, is that we put them all in a box and we don't treat them as individuals. Don't be surprised that someone comes out of that box and just says, mahavadozos lachem. So that the Tom is opposite the Russia, and the pure one opposite the cynical, and the Chacham is opposite the Shener De'elishol. Much worse than Shener De'elishol at our Seder, the one who doesn't know how to ask, is Shener Rotzelishol, the one who doesn't care to ask, doesn't want to ask. We have to teach children in ways that, as all studies show, the most important moment in all of the educational times that a child spends in the classroom or at your table is what's going on in their head as they're thinking of asking a question. Not answering a question, but they're thinking of asking a question. You have to speak to them so that they'll ask. And we have to listen to them so that they'll ask. So I call the Shener De'elishol in my Haggadah the withdrawn son. He's withdrawn. We have to pull him out. And this is, I'll close on the withdrawn son, because he's the one that gives the book we use to read his, the events of the night, the Haggadah, because his pasuk is Vigadata Levincha. Don't just tell him stories. Vigadata, relate to him and make your way to so that he leaves his withdrawn state. So he is opposite the Chacham. Full disclosure, the Yerushalmi refers to the Tom as the Tipesh. So maybe the Yerushalmi disagrees with this formulation of the Tom opposite the Russia. It's actually the Vilna Gaon's formulation. I might still explain that as the word Tipesh is used in Tanakh, it's a rare word in Tanakh, Tafash Kachelev. Tipesh means slow. Slow means, does not mean necessarily that he's simple. Slow means that he takes his time to think of the right answer, and that's part of his morality, is that he doesn't rush to judge. He takes his time, like tofash kachelev, which is like molasses or chelev is fat, but it doesn't stream, it doesn't flow quickly with the chacham, who is bright and brilliant and answers quickly. So maybe even the Yerushalmi can fit according to this scheme of the breakdown between the Tam and the Rasha. The main issue that anyone has to contend with when lining up these four psukim is that the Haggadah seems to consider the Rasha to be wicked because he uses the word lachem. What is all this to you? And it says we give him an answer, the answer that the Torah gives to the Shener De'elishol, which is Bavur Ze Asa Hashem Li. We stress the word Li. He gave the same answer to the Shener De'elishol for a different reason we'll get to shortly. But the Haggadah very clearly seems to present us that the Lachem is his problem. Yet the Chacham says, Maha Edus Fahukim Mishpatim Asher Tzva Hashem Elkeinu Eschem. The Chacham also says to you, he should have said, Osanu. In fact, if you have the Mechilta and the Yerushalmi, there the Pasuk says, Chacham Mahu Omer, Ben Chacham Mahu Omer. There the source says, Osanu. The Korban Aida and the Mefarshim to the Mechilta say, look how smart he is. He changed the Masoretic text in order to be included. In fact, the Septuagint, the Targum Shivim, does have Osanu there instead of Eschem. The editors of the Targum Shivim understood that Eschem is a problem. So they changed the Masoretic text to Osanu, just like the Mechilta and the Yerushalmi does. However, simple Parshanut can show that this is not necessarily the case as far as the Torah is concerned. David Zvi Hoffman explains in his commentary to Dvarim that the word Eschem is part of Moshe's statement to the parents. Ki yisholcha bincha machor Eschem lemor, maha edos v'chukim mishpatim asher tzivah Hashem Elokeinu. The child's question ends with the word Elokeinu. The Haggadah obviously doesn't agree with that by saying that Lochem is a problem. And if Lochem is a problem, Eschem is a problem. I know there are some grammatical differences between Lochem and Lonu and Eschem and Osanu, but it's not significant enough. The Chacham gets a pass for saying Eschem for a simple reason. He mentions God. He says, Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu. The Rasha does not mention God in his question. That may be an additional point of his problem, is that not only does he say to you, he doesn't think that God's part of this. And in Chazal, in various Gemaras, maybe the most famous one some of you can recognize, is that when Titus stabbed the Paroches between the Heichal and the Kodesh Kodashim, it said blood dripped from the Paroches, from all the sprinklings over the years, and he thought, V'chashav sheharag et atzmo. It's a euphemism. The Gemara doesn't want to say he killed, you know. So they say, V'chashav sheharag et atzmo. Atzmo is a euphemism in the Talmud for God. Lefi shehotzi et atzmo min haklal. He took God out of his question. He doesn't mention God like the Chacham does in contrast. So the fact that the Chacham says Asher Tziva, maybe he's 12, maybe he's 10, maybe he's still before Bar Mitzvah. He can't say Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Osanu because he hasn't been commanded. He's not commanded yet. So he gets a pass for saying Eschem because he does indeed say Tziva Hashem Elokeinu, and he does something very important in the educational process, is that he classifies, he gives a taxonomy of what he sees before him as Eidos Chukim Mishpatim, as opposed to the Rasha that just says, sees everything before him and he calls it all Avoda. While it's not fair to refer to that as his problem, because Avoda is a section of the Rambam, the Torah of Karbanos, the Torah refers to what's going on Pesach as the Hayaha Avoda Hazos Lachem L'moadam Yamim Yamima. So, but nonetheless, the Mechilta and the Yerushalmi say, Ma HaTircha Hazeh She'atem Matrichim Osanu. So, V'chol Shana V'shana. What's all this Tircha? To him, it's just Avoda. Again, in contrast to what the Chacham writes as Eidos Chukim Mishpatim. Sometimes we couldn't find anything wrong with Mahavada Zos Lachem, but in contrast to the other question, the very different references in the Chacham's question, we see a difference. Right? Like from Kayin's Korban, maybe Mincha Lashem, I wouldn't know there's anything wrong with that until I contrast it to Hevel, who brings me Bechoros Tzono Michel Behen. So in the contrast to the Chacham, all the problems with the Rasha come through, and then even one step further, this is really something very, very prescient in the writings of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichron Levracha. He says that to him, it's the word Zos that's the problem. Not so much Lachem and not so much Avoda, it's the Zos. What does the Rasha do? He's behaving like Korach. He says, you know, I agree with you. I think it's very important to have reminders of all the suffering of the past, but why should we go all the way back to the past? Mahavada Zos Lachem. There are people suffering today. Let's put an orange on the Seder instead of an egg, instead of the shank bone. Why orange? For all the people who are incarcerated wearing orange jumpsuits. It's absurd, but let's put other things on the Seder plate in order to have a different mode of, I'm sure you've seen certain Haggadahs that try to ease their way into other types of subjugations and suffering. While that is definitely one of the elements we hope to leave, the takeaway that's crucial for the Seder, the Yisham Dalav Oseinu V'lanu, and who is better than the Jewish people to use our sense of liberty and sense of helping people who are less fortunate. And as we distinguish ourselves, that's part of what we do. That the fair treatment of the ger, the Gemara Bava Metzia says, is the most commonly repeated mitzvah in the Torah, precisely because we started our nationhood as gerim in a strange land. So the Torah is constantly reminding of this. V'ahavtem es ha-ger, ki gerim he-yisem be'eretz Mitzrayim. That's how we love everybody, because we see we relate to everybody, and we see ourselves in them. So this is the true problem of the Rasha. Three parts. Havada, it's Tircha. Zos, he wants it to be something else. Korach agrees with Moshe that we should relate to God on a magisterial level and a cosmic level. But why do we have to do it through this blue fringe? Let me do it with a blue hanky. Let me do it with a blue of sapphire ring. Right? So Korach wants the autonomy. This is now the writings of Rav Soloveitchik Zal. The autonomy to decide himself what the service should be like And that's what he means by Mahavadaha Zos Lachem. So I want the autonomy to decide myself how I observe this. And since Nadav and Avihu, there have been many strange fires through Korach and through the way he's behaving here, according to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, that causes our problems. And of course, the fact that he doesn't mention God's name, Mefisha Hotziyat, that's Momin HaKlal, that is essentially his heresy, a kafar be'ikar. Now, it could be that if he denies the value of what we're doing in Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim, that could also be a kfir be'ikar. That's why God appears to us in the first of the Aseres Hadibros as not the God who created heaven and earth, but the God who took us out of Egypt. And maybe, it may just be that how we observe Chayav Adam Liros Esatzmo Kilu Yatzam Mitzrayim, how we observe that God took us out of Egypt, us, not our ancestors, us, because we are constantly leaving Egypt. Every morning that we say Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, after referring to elements of Egypt, we remind ourselves that each and every day without God's help, I wouldn't get by this Yom Tzara. I wouldn't get by this day of tribulation. And God helps me and get through my daily existential problems. And then I say, Baruch Atah Hashem Goel Yisrael, not only in the past, but in the present as well. And we do this thematically in Tehillim chapter 106 refers to all of the tribulations of Yetzias Mitzrayim, ending with Batzar Lahem. Whenever God sees our tzar, he's always there for us. And then chapter 107 refers to four different types of people who thank God. In each case, it's again Batzar Lahem, because God is there for them as they crossed the ocean, as they crossed the desert, as they left incarceration, and as they left the general threat to life. These is called benching gomel, or in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, you brought a korban tona, a toda, a thanksgiving offering. And these four things encapsulate the essence of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Because we crossed in a body of water, we crossed the desert, we left incarceration, and of course, various threats in general to life. So every time we bench gomel, but even we don't have to bench gomel. Every time we just pray and say the words Baruch Atah Hashem Goel Yisrael, we are leaving Egypt at that moment and acknowledging God's presence in our lives. So if you say Mahavadozos Lachem, then we don't believe in this, and that's potentially a kfira beika. So this explains why the Haggadah is so harsh with the Rasha. And again, in my Haggadah, I call him cynical, and I have give the opportunity to give him various answers that are more likely to mollify him than what I might be able to tell a Tom or a Chacham. Okay, so the Tom's question of Mazos seems to be simple enough. But if you look in Tanakh, there are 10 places, exactly 10 places where someone asks the question Mazos. Usually it's followed by Mazos Asisalanu. What did you do? What is this that you did? And they are usually philosophical questions. And may I suggest to you, and it's crucial that we read the Seder this way, may I suggest to you that we read it as like Mazos. Wow, what is all this? This is amazing. Right? It's so amazing what I see. Ishbar lo yeda. If I wasn't such a if I was a ksil lo yavin ezos, you have to be a chacham to appreciate. Manishtana halayla hazem mikol elos. How wonderfully different this night is from all other nights, and treat the whole seder this way. Now, when we get up to Vehisha, Amda Lavo, Seno, Valana, we give a little history lesson of what it must have been like to observe a Seder during the Spanish Inquisition, or more recently in the Warsaw Ghetto, or in a basement hiding in Russia where you're afraid that if they knock on the door and the police are there, that they're going to arrest you for holding a Seder. So this is really the essence of the Tom's question of Mazos. It's amazement. When Moshe sees a stick turning to a snake, he jumps in amazement. Bayonos. When Bilam sees his donkey start to talk, he's not amazed. He didn't look and say, "Oh, a talking donkey, what's that about?" Right? So what a sad life if you don't have that amazement. We know to stay away from the behavior of the Rasha. And we'll get to the Shinner and Daily Show shortly. But we have to encourage the kind of questions to classify different things that we see before us. There's no greater chokhmah than that's called bina. It's a higher level of cognitive thinking. to mevin, to differentiate between the things we see, so we can draw an analysis of what's going on, and we can synthesize the different things that are going on at the Seder, and reach the highest level of cognitive thinking, which is to draw conclusions, even make predictions. That's why we say v'navi levav chachma, right? So ezu chachma haroes hanolad, so that we can make predictions that if we keep the kids so interested and so with such beautiful memories, we will more readily assure that they'll stay within the program. The Gemara in Moed Katan says chayim is only b'ni tole b'mazel. How the kids turn out needs mazel also, because we have to shoot arrows. The Tillim says in chapter 128, the children are like arrows in the hand of the archer, because we do have to shoot them at a target at some point. We have to let go. They're going to go move to their own place. They're going to get married and leave our they're going to go to summer camp, and they're going to go to the dormitory, and they might not have our immediate influence to ask at the moment. We just hope that if we hold them close to our hearts, like a good archer holds the arrow close to our hearts, it's more likely we'll reach its target and we'll stay on the derech. Everything requires a mazel in this realm, but that we can assure that this will be the case. And then we do reach the Shiner de Elishol, where it says At Pesachlo. Now, At is second person male and female in Aramaic, but the rest is Hebrew here. So why do we say At? At can be teach him from Aleph to Tav, from A to Z. At can be that we are harnessing the power of the insight of the woman who has more bina to reach such a child. Whatever it might be, we tell him, for him, he gets the same pasuk as the Rosha, because for the Rosha, we stress the word li, to be inclusive. For the Shinei Derlisha, we stress the zeh, and the zeh is going to be part of the Seder throughout the night. Matzah zeh, shenu ochlim, right? Moro zeh. So we point to things, show devices, show ways to make this a memorable event. That's why we sing so much. When you sing things, you remember it. That's why we sing Kadei, Shurchatam, my seventh grade. Everyone in the class knew all 15 parts of the Seder by heart, because they sing it. It becomes part of their memory. That's why Rabbi Yehuda does the Tzach, Hadash, Bachab. Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas is always doing those things and giving us mnemonics so that we can remember to a better extent. Create these beautiful memories, and with the zehness of the Seder, and he's more likely to remember. So that in its totality, we are ready to classify whoever is at the Seder in one of these four formats to assure that they'll want to come back and that they'll want to ask questions and reach that part of the brain that thinks of asking a question that wakes itself up. We have to awaken this child. So I would make a bold statement here that appears at the very end of my Haggadah, and it's from the word at, is that the Jewish community in the middle of the 20th century, especially in America, but maybe even more so for sure in Europe, was very moribund. It was Sheiner de Elishol. It was withdrawn. In 1950, the American Jewish Yearbook, I should say the now defunct American Jewish Yearbook, predicted that by the year 2000, there will not be any observant Jews, Orthodox Jews, in the United States. The Reform and Conservative movement will take over, and there will be no yeshivas. They will all move to Israel or someplace else, and there will be no Orthodox Jews in the United States. What changed that? It was an immoral prediction. What changed that? So I would submit to you, what changed that was about in the mid-1940s, where the Jewish community decided, my mother missed this boat, as did her two younger sisters, but the three younger sisters after that did not miss that boat. Was the idea that girls need to have to be just as much Jewish education as boys. So I'm glad that you named this shir the four children and not the four sons. I named that my Haggadah because that's what Mosaic felt was more true to the original text. But it's the four children, and that girls were considered important to educate, and that they made yeshivas to have not just secular education. That train left that station well before 1945. But that girls should have an equal Jewish education as the boys, and open up yeshivas for them as well. That this changed the Jewish landscape that took a moribund, withdrawn Jewish community, observant religious Jewish community, and it fully charged them and empowered them, so that the Jewish community would have all its children to walk in the path of Torah and Avodah and Gmilus Chasadim, and be able to answer the question either Mazos or be inspired to ask the question. So that this is why we say At Pesachlo, that when women were empowered to, as well as men, to keep that, and this way they would be machshiv to keep Torah in the family. And I say to you, I submit to you in conclusion, that this is the fulfillment of a biblical prophecy. In Sefer Yirmiyahu in chapter 31, that prophet says that a sign of the return to Israel, return to Zion, is the Haftarah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, where we read about our own tshuva in light of the tshuva of the Jewish people to its homeland. That's an essential part of our tshuva, our ultimate tshuva. Of Soloveitchik writes this in many different places. That this would be in manifest with the following sign, that God is going to create something new in the land. And that new thing is Nekeva Tesovev Gaver. The woman shall encircle her man. Now, because Yirmiyahu had said a few times earlier in the book that things will get so bad, no one will want to get married. And then he says, Od Yishama. Now you know why it's that the song begins with the word Od Yishama. Once again, we will sing the song of Kol Sason, the Kol Simcha, Kol Chasan, the Kol Kala. Now once again, we'll sing this, that because of this, a woman encircling a man became part of a marriage ceremony. That's the simple manifestation, but there's a much deeper pshat to this, of course. The woman is Bnei Yisrael, the man is God. And Yahu is telling us that before the end of days, we will have to search for God. Like Amos says, there will be a ra'av ba'aretz, lo la'ra'av la'lechem v'lo tzama la'mayim kim lishmo es divrei Hashem, that when we thirst for God the way that you're thirsting here to hear all this Torah that Torah in Motion puts out for you, this is a clear sign of Nekeva, meaning the whole nation of Israel, to Sovev Gaver, to search for its beloved, like in Shir HaShirim, and that is going to herald the end of days. The Malbim says a different pshat. The Malbim says that the man is actually Israel, the woman is the land of Israel, land being a feminine word in Hebrew, that the land will come out to us. The Malbim wrote this in the 1860s, that it's a manifestation of Cyrus that led us back into the land without a battle. Yes, there were Persian anti-Semites, the Tsarei Yehuda and the Hamans, who didn't like that. But in the end, we were able to return to our land. Only 1 in 100 Jews in the world at the time did return, 42,360. But still, we did return without a battle. Nekeva to Soviet Gover. The land reached out to us. And the Malbim wrote then, I predict that that's the way it's going to be in the future, that we will do so not against the will of the nations. The Rav said that the United Nations was created just to do one of its first actions, which was to recognize the partition of the state of Israel. And that's an answer we should be able to give the Neturei Karta and the Satmar, but that's for another time. That we didn't go into the land of Israel rebelling against the nations of the world or against the will of God. So the point is, though, that we have these two interpretations of what the woman encircling the man is, either Bnei Israel encircling God or the land encircling the nation. I'd like to submit to you that the simple pshat of what I just said is what it really is. The Kevot HaSoviv Gover is the bursting out of women taking leadership roles in Torah and in Avodah and Milas Chasadim, that this is something crucial to our messianic aspirations, as is manifest in chapter 31 of Sefer Yirmiyahu. I close with that, and I thank you for Harbatzas HaTorah, Rabbi Kelman, Yishkayach again for all that you're doing, and may we be Zoche Lashana Hazos B'Yerushalayim, and to be amazed by everything we see at the Seder, and to bring out all those who were withdrawn, and only see even the cynical children come and ask wonderful questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Yasha Koach. And that's a perfect segue to our next speaker, Dr. Rebecca Gottlieb Winter Gottlieb, who just became, who's a PhD in neuroscience and working in the field, and just became the principal of Atlantic. I'm not sure the name of the school in Atlanta. I apologize, Rebecca. You'll let me know.
No problem.
I'm sorry. Of course, Rebecca grew up in Toronto. Not of course, but for me, it's of course. Grew up in Toronto, really representing Canada and Chidon HaTanakh, and is really the best combination of Torah Umata and really the new generation of women, Talmidot Chachamot. We'll give people 45 seconds to stretch. I just wanted to segue into that introduction then, but we can take a 40-minute stretch. Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz, and really a pleasure, and I very much like that idea of the Tom, which I've said in different ways, and I'm glad you noticed that, of course, I called it the four children, not the four sons. Banim Atem Hashem, Bnei Yisrael are not sons, they're children. Okay, thank you very much, and Chag Sameach.
Yes.